Bible this morning. We're in Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's Word? The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Heavenly Father, thank you for the service that has taken place to this point. Now we look into your word. We see what it has for us. And I pray that every person here under the sound of my voice and who may be listening on the internet or in a CD or a DVD in the future, I pray that they would be believers. And if not, that you would so prick their conscience, convict them of their sin. Before this message is over, they would pray, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior." So Lord, help us this morning as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm reminded of an old song. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. It's been an interesting week. We had a wedding. We've had a couple of funerals, some deaths. I see things from time to time that make you wonder what in the world is going on. I was reminded of that in a loss that this area sustained recently with a family that's not in our church, but this church knows them. And it was Katie, is it Fugel or Fuegel? Fugel. And obviously I know the dad, I know the mom, 12-year-old girl, perfectly healthy, had a massive cardiac episode of whatever happened, and she passed away. A girl that didn't have cancer, we didn't see that coming, got up to go to school or do the things that she normally would do and had absolutely no sign of any illness whatsoever. Now she's gone. A 12-year-old girl taken from the family that I don't know how you explain that. And 21 months earlier, her mom had passed away from, I think it was kidney disease, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but she's out of the picture. And you look at a family, and now she's got a 14-year-old sister that lost a mom, and man, that kills me. I don't know about you. You see things like that, and I don't understand. Then we, you know, one of our own, Dawn, is gone, 77 years old, and you would say lived a full life, absolutely, knew the Lord, but regardless, whether you see it coming or whether you don't, you're never ready. You're never ready. And episodes like that happen. And so I sat down and I wrote down my philosophy of life. And I said, you know, you have to think about what you think. Because if you don't know what you think, if you don't have some foundational truth to stand on, you're going to be a victim in this world. And suicide is rampant, and you've heard me mention in the past, if you've not considered suicide in this life, you're an exemplary individual, because I'm not saying you've plotted it, but it's been a passing thought. I know it certainly has been in my life. So here's the six truths I'll give you very quickly. That won't be a surprise to any of you. If you've attended this church for any amount of time, you've probably heard me say every one of these things I'll say this morning. I won't keep you long. But number one, life's not fair. Ever heard that? I found that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. Matthew 5:44-45. I'll just read verse 45. "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." My God can do anything he wants to do. And if he wanted to, he could make sure that it only rains on good people. The sun only shines on good people. Crops only grow for good people. But that's not how he does it. Life's not fair. Number two, we are all dying. You've heard me say that before. We're all dying. There isn't a one of us that looks better today than we did yesterday. Look in the mirror. Something is happening. And I don't like what I'm seeing. And I try to, you know, fluff and puff. And I've never worn makeup, but I'm starting to think about it. You know? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. Say that with me. For all have sinned. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have a Pew Bible you're looking at or a Scofield Reference Bible, it's on page 1227. I want to spend some time on verses 51 to 56, and I'm going to explain some truths out of this. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin." The sting of death is sin. Say that with me. The sting of death is sin. All have sinned. The sting of death is sin. We have all been bitten by something that is killing us, and it's sin. Do you get that? The sting of death is sin. I noticed a while ago, April 3rd, if you follow the news, an Indonesian folk singer carried on performing for 45 minutes despite being bitten by a venomous snake before collapsing on stage and dying 3 hours later. Irma Buell, 29, was attacked midway through her performance by a king cobra. The performer was well known for using reptiles in her acts. In the middle of the second song, Irma stepped on the snake's tail. The snake then bit Irma in the thigh. The effects were felt 45 minutes after the bite. She vomited, had seizures, and her body seized. Irma had also used boa constrictors and pythons in previous acts and refused the offer of an antidote. According to the report, she was later confirmed dead in the hospital. King cobras can grow up to 18 feet long and are found in India, Southeast Asia, and Southern China. They are one of the deadliest animals on the planet. The venom in a single bite from a king cobra can kill an elephant or 20 people. One bite. King cobra. She was bit. She decided she didn't need help. She carried on with her act, and she died. I want you to know this morning, the sting of death is sin. We have all sinned, therefore we have all been bit, and we all are dying, and we need an antidote. And to ignore it, to deny it, does not change a thing. You are continuing to die. You are continuing to age. The process will happen, and ignoring it won't change it. How that girl thought that she was going to be okay with that, I have no idea. Some speculated that she thought the snake had been defanged. I'd just like to take a little side note here and say, if you think playing with snakes is fun, you are not right. If you think there are people that just love to have those things wrapped all around them and she used them in her acts and all that, I wouldn't even go in the room where she was performing. I wouldn't even be in the theater. If you are so whacked out that you're willing to do something like that, you're not getting my money, lady. Now you can say that's not very loving, no, but it's true. Some strange people out there. Cleaning the furnace a while ago. I'm getting on a rabbit trail now, but I'm going with it. Cleaning the furnace a while ago, and I don't see anything in your home. I'm not kidding. If I'm going to see your furnace, I'm looking for the furnace. What else is there really doesn't matter to me. I'm in and I'm out. So I'm going for the furnace. It is a trailer. It's a Miller CMF. I open the door. I start doing it, and the guy's standing behind me, and I don't pay much attention. He says, I hope you don't mind snakes. And I thought, well, that's a strange comment. You know, I didn't see a snake in the furnace, and if I did, I'd kill it, but whatever. You know? He says, because my pet boa constrictor's right behind you. I turned around. There it was. I didn't know quite what to think of that. I wasn't carrying on that day. Anyway. So, there's some strange people out there, folks. They need the Lord. I think when you get saved, you don't like snakes, all right? If you're here and you're a good Baptist, you're a member of this church, you like snakes? No, that ain't right. Here we are. We've been bit. The sting of death is sin. We're all dying. But the beauty is in Christ, we won't all die. You go, wait a minute, Stan, you just said we're all dying. We won't all die. Verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, that's not referring to Baptists in church, that some of them don't sleep. They actually come through the whole service and then go home and take a nap. You know, but the reality of it is that a Baptist church is a great place to take a nap. I don't know why some of you don't bring your pillow, but, you know, that's not what it's referring to. We won't all sleep, but we all shall change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, I'm going to give you a little history lesson in the Bible here. As you and I look at this, is a great passage, and if you go down to verse 18, it says, comfort one another with these words. Is that I have a hope in Christ that the world can't offer. And that hope is that regardless of the circumstances, as we were talking with the McDougal family and Don was still with us and the doctors were saying, we're going to try this on him, but it won't work. Well, that's a lot of hope, isn't it? But you want to try whatever you can. And so they had this medication they were trying and a couple of different drugs they were trying. And they told the family, it won't work. We're not wrong about this, but we're willing to do this. And my comment to the family was, well, you know what? It could work, but Christ could come back. We won't all sleep. We won't all die, but we shall all be changed. And what was happening in the early church, it was just a few, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 was just written within 25 years of Christ leaving the earth. They had all seen him. 1 Corinthians 15 says he was seen of the apostles and James, and he was above 500 brethren at once, of whom some have fallen asleep, some have died, but the greater part remain unto this present. So what they were saying is, as the years had passed by, just 25 years ago, in 1995, let's say, just how many remember 1995 pretty clearly? I know I do. We had started the church. We were only about a year old. Some of you were attending here, but the reality, I got clear memories of 1995. So that's just 25 years ago. 25 years ago, they were walking and talking with Christ. They had seen him. A bunch of them had. They knew that he had left the earth and gone to heaven. What did he say? He said, I'll be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger was not the first one to say that. Okay? Jesus said, I'll be back. I go to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, they knew he made the earth in 6 days. He said he's going back to fix a place for us. That shouldn't take very long. So they're expecting him to come right back. Now it's been 25 years, and some of those believers that had seen him go have died. And they're starting to wonder, well, if the Lord comes back, what about those that have died before us? Do they just get left behind? Do they not get to go back with Christ? How's that going to work? These are legitimate questions. And so the Apostle Paul, through the prodding of the Holy Spirit, said, you tell these, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I don't want you not to know how this is all going to work. We have events here at church, and we try to give you the details. Okay, when you come, this is how it's going to go. And Paul said, I want you to know how this is all going to work, and this is how it'll happen, that there's going to be a trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are asleep in Christ, they're going to be woken up. Now, that's not soul sleep. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, okay? Jesus looked at the thief on the cross and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But see, heaven for the Christian is a place of rest. Hebrews says they're going to enter into their rest. So you and I know that when they leave here and they go to heaven and the rapture hasn't taken place, they're not sleeping in the grave, but they're resting in heaven. Okay? And what's heaven like? Well, heaven's a place of rest. Are we going to have things to do? Absolutely. No stress, no sin. We're going to love one another. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I don't get along with everybody. It's shocking. It's true. You know, sometimes there's personality conflicts. Sometimes people don't love me like they should. And it's just, there's different things that happen in this life. I won't ask for hands, but I'll tell you what, if you get along with everybody, and some people do, those that do are amazing individuals to me. Judy Pangburn. She gets along with everybody. If you don't love Judy, there's something wrong with you. Now, sorry, Judy, but you're sitting there. I couldn't help but think it, okay? I'm thinking of some other things about others of you that I won't say out loud, but, okay? But the reality of it is, when we get to heaven, there's no sin, no conflict, no trouble. It's perfect. I don't care who, if they know Christ and they love the Lord, they have him in their heart, whether you get along on this side of it, people say, well, you better get along with him. You're going to have to be in heaven with him. Well, you know what? Heaven's a little different than earth. Heaven's going to be a place where a few little things will be straightened out. And when you get there, the Lord's going to pull you aside. And he's going to say, you listen to Stan. He was right all along. It's my dream. I can make it what I want. All right. But honestly, heaven, there's no, it's perfect. Listen, if you know Christ as your Savior, take a little time every now and then just to sit back and muse about how great it's going to be. I mean, if you're going on a vacation, when you're young and your parents say they're going to take you to Disney World, what do kids do? All they think about is going to Disney World. And they go there and stand in line and stand in line and stand in line. Well, you know what? You ought to think a little bit about what it's going to be like to go to heaven, because it's spectacular. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. It's spectacular. Spend a little time thinking about it. It's going to be wonderful. But they were concerned. What's going to happen? How's this going to work? Are our loved ones that have already gone to sleep, that have died in Christ, are they going to be left behind? And Paul said, oh no, they're going first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. We're going to get a new body, new life, new everything. And God's going to give us all of those things that he's promised us. And it could happen before I'm done. It could happen before 11 o'clock. And if you're sitting here without Jesus Christ and all of a sudden we're taken, you're left behind. This room's going to be primarily empty. Might be two or three or four, half a dozen people sitting here. And they say, what happened? We're gone. We went to heaven. You missed the boat. Boy, all hell's going to break out. And you're behind. What a shame. What am I saying? There's hope in Christ. No matter the circumstances, no matter what hospital bed you're standing over, no matter what crisis you may be going through, there's a chance you won't see that to the end. Christ could come first. Fill in the blank with any catastrophe you could think of. Christ could come first. And oh, what a good deal. And then if we do lose a loved one, don't worry, we'll see him again. There's always hope in Christ. Life's not fair. We're all dying. We won't all die. Only Christ offers a guarantee of life after death. Verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only Christ offers a guarantee of life after death. Thanks be to God. Say that with me. Thanks be to God. All of the things that are going on, the sting of sin is death. We are dying. The strength of sin is the law. There's no way you can get out of that. But thanks be to God who give us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always victory. We are on the winning side. We are winners. Do you hear me? We are winners. Say that with me. We are winners. Why? Because we're so good. We're the corner. No. Because of who we serve. We serve Jesus Christ. He overcame hell, death, and the grave. See, he's been there. He's done it. He took our place. We don't have to. Thanks be to God. You ought to get excited about that every now and then. All of that stuff that's going on that the world is saying, it's going to be awful, it's going to be terrible if you don't do this. If you're not storing tons of food and being ready and buying bullets, all things. No, my God's in control. He is. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for all the things he's done. If you're not a thankful Christian, you don't know your Bible. Even in times of loss, it could be so much worse because Christ is on the throne. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says, verse 25, for we are restrained till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You know what? There's going to come a day when death will die. How great is that? I don't know about you, I've said it. You've seen me. If I've stood in graveyards, I've looked at that hole that we're going to put someone in, and I've said out loud, I hate death. Old Jack Kevorkian used to run around and say, we must use the death process. No, we don't use the death process. We're told to fight for life. We hate death. We're fighting it. Where it's normal to want to live. God put that in us. We ought to want to live. And someday death is going to die. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death will be vanquished. And it will be no more. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more sorrow or death or crying, for the former things are passed away. And I'm telling you what, that can't happen soon enough, can it? Verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Because of all the things I've just said, because of all we've just talked about, life's not fair. We're all dying. We won't all die. Only Christ offers a guarantee of eternal life. Someday even death will die. Because of all of this, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What's that? Just keep moving. Unmovable. Don't waver in your faith. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't abound in all your toys. Don't abound in all your vacations. Don't abound in all the stuff, all the things that the world will get you caught up in. Don't be so busy that you can't work for the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That word vain is useless. Someone said vain is a zero with the circle erased. It's nothing. There are things that we do that have absolutely no value whatsoever. I love eating at Dairy Queen. I've mentioned this. It's one of my passions in life. That has no value whatsoever. But what I do for the Lord, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It will last. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. A man is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. Next Sunday we'll talk about Don McDougall. I'll mention some things again I shouldn't say today. One of the best days I ever had in church was when they celebrated their 50th anniversary and the kids came up and put on this crazy skit about Don Bacon in the bakery and all the stuff going on. I laughed so hard. I'll tell you, you can't beat the Christian family. But you know what? Don McDougall did some things that will last forever in Christ. It's those things right there that keep me going. It's those things that when you read an obituary or you have a loss or you see the struggles going on, the world falling apart. And I'm telling you, we're living in dangerous times, folks. And they're not going to get better. And the next president won't be the cure. The cure is what we believe in Jesus Christ and how we live it. I'll close it with this. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you have been bitten, you are dying, and you need the antidote. And ignoring it won't change a thing. And someday you will breathe your last breath, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are going to die and go to hell. I won't stand over your body and say, oh, I guess they went to a better place. I guess they're better off now, because you won't be. Heaven is right now for you. This is all there is. If you don't know Christ, you've been bitten by a king cobra and you are dying, and ignoring it won't change a thing. But on the other hand, if you trust Christ as your personal Savior, that is the antidote that will allow sin to have no power over you. You will be able to live forever with Christ and live in that eternal place that He has prepared for you. But the choice is yours. And I'm sick and tired of people wanting us to say over a dead loved one that they're in heaven when we don't know that they are. I don't know that. And I'm not going to lie about it. But I'll tell you what, Don McDougall's in heaven because he knew Christ and we know it. How great is that? But the reality of it is, most people have been bit and they don't have the antidote and they're going to die without Christ. Don't let it be anyone in this room. Heavenly Father, we love you. We love the hope that Christ offers. You are the only one that guarantees eternal life. I don't have to work hard and pray it takes, and all I need to do is trust you as my Savior. And you said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And Lord, Stan Griffin's going to live forever because Jesus Christ is in my heart and I've trusted you as my Savior and you've forgiven my sins. Don McDougall is going to live forever because he trusted you as his Savior and we will see him again. And Lord, we could fill in the names of other people in the same condition because of you. And then, Lord, sad to say, there are other people that we don't know that about, and they're gone, and there's no more chance. And we just hope that they knew you, but we're not sure. Lord, I pray this morning that for every person that's in this room, the sting of death is sin. We've all been stung. I pray that every person here has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. There is no other answer. There is no other hope. You said you're the way, the truth, the life. It's the only way. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, I'd like you to say these words. We're not going to say them out loud or anything, but I'm going to give them to you. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then say this right now, quietly in your heart, but pray it to the Lord. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. You say in Jesus' name. I hope you said those words if you don't know Christ.